Blog Talk Radio.
You're in the zone. Cavillo TO Radio. Friday afternoon. How's everyone doing? It's the Teddy Bear and welcome to the Zone of LOTO Radio. I want to send out a very special thank you to the incredible Paul Taylor. Thank you so very much for joining us and honoring us with your presence. And family, remember to purchase his new album, album for you veterans out there, for the youngsters, CD. His new album /CD, Countdown, is available as we speak on iTunes, Google Play, and also on Spotify. But as we transcend to the smoother sides of jazz on a very funky, yes, Lord, Summer Madness kind of tip, incredible, incredible saxophonist Richard Elliott. He blessed us with his lip service in 2014, and now he's taking it up another level with his 2016 release of Summer Madness. On behalf of the Zone and myself, the Teddy Bear, it is my pleasure to welcome to the show the incredible Mr. Richard Elliott. Richard, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, and congratulations on a wonderful new album.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that very much.
Absolutely. Man, I must say, after listening to Lip Service, I said, okay, Richard's in a pocket right now. He's going back to the roots of some funk, some soulful funk. And I said, now he's taking it to another level with Summer Madness. Man, can you kind of describe to the listeners out there as far as your mindset when you did Lip Service and say, you know what, I want to take it to another level with Summer Madness?
Absolutely. Yeah, for me, Summer Madness is all about kind of a hearkening back to a period in my life, a very influential period in my life, where music that was on the radio was sort of defining the direction I wanted to go as a young musician. And I grew up in the mid to late 70s, so it was all about funk, soul, R&B, and jazz. And it was such a unique time when all of these genres were kind of fusing together. And what was really amazing about that period of time is it was nothing, not uncommon at all for you to be listening to top 40 radio and to hear instrumental music. You know, you'd hear a Ronnie Laws song or a Bob James song or a Kool & the Gang song that was an instrumental. And in the case of the Kool & the Gang song Summer Madness, that was sort of the song that, it was a pivotal song for me because that song was all over the radio in the mid-70s, and that was right around the time where I determined that I wanted to be a professional musician. And that summer that song was on the radio was sort of defined who I wanted to be. And that's why we titled the song Summer Madness. We did the cover song. We covered the song Summer Madness, and that's kind of what it's all about. It's about calling on those funk, soul, R&B, and jazz roots and kind of paying a tribute to it.
Absolutely. Now, at one time, being a part of one of my favorite all-time groups, Tower of Power, man, as far as being a musician, that time that you spent with them, how did that enhance your ability to become a better musician?
Oh, it influenced me in so many ways. I call my time with Tower of Power as sort of my graduate school. I think I learned more about being a musician, being a horn player, playing in a section, being a team player, how to make a statement when you perform. I learned more about all those things with Tower of Power than any other group or artist that I ever worked with.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it definitely resonates in music. You know, it's interesting. I just want to step back a little bit. When you mentioned about as far as just music, how music has changed, how the radio format has changed over the years. But you think it's in some aspect as far as music, from a musician's perspective, that here in the States, since the format has changed so dramatically, at some point it did actually hurt true musicians, and as far as being out of the United States, they have basically embraced the music more than we do here.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. I think that what has happened with radio here in the States is the genres have gotten more compartmentalized, and you can't, you know, there's this tendency to stick with sort of one little narrow view of a particular type of music on a particular radio station. And as I was talking about before, I mean, you know, you listen to pop radio or you listen to R&B radio, and you'd hear all kinds of music coming in and sort of commingling. I think that's kind of the beauty of it. And I think, yes, it's probably hurt the musicians from a standpoint of, okay, I'm going to make a record. What am I going to put on that record? How am I going to try and help ensure that that record gets played on the radio? And I think it's a tough thing. But I think who it really hurts most of all is the listener. Because what happens is that listener tunes into a particular radio station, and they're going to hear a particular, like, small set of songs, and there isn't going to be anything new or fresh or something from kind of around the fringes, so that listener goes, oh wow, that's kind of different, that's kind of unique, and motivates them to kind of dig in a little deeper and find out what other kinds of music is out there that's complementary to their taste that they may not know about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've had this conversation with a few of my colleague friends, and I said, you know what, the problem that I've seen, just kind of stepping back and looking at everything overall, is that it deprives an artist from just strictly focusing on the art form, where they have to be so concerned whether if they're signed by a major label or if they're an independent, they have to try to make some kind of radio-friendly song or product, so they get the necessary airplay, so people are made aware of their music. At some point in time, does it somewhat get frustrating when you know that you put out a fantastic product, but you know that it's not getting out there and reaching the masses the way it should be reaching the masses?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I find, too, I found over the years, and I've been lucky enough to be doing this for about 30 years now, I've found that when you try to second guess radio or second guess what's going to get airplay, or like, okay, I'm going to record this song because I think this song is going to get the most airplay, it kind of usually backfires, because typically the artist is doing that song not because it's really coming from their heart, but because they're thinking about it too much with their head. And what I try to do, I kind of figured this out a few years back, that when I make a record, I do what is coming from my soul and my heart, and I put that out there. If it lines up with what people want to hear, then of course I'm thrilled. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And yeah, that's a disappointment, but I've found that that's kind of the only way to go. You have to do what's in your heart, and hopefully people respond to that. And I think people kind of pick up on whether something is a sincere performance or not. And I've always tried to be as sincere as possible with my music.
Absolutely. I've had an opportunity to see quite a few interviews that you've given in the past. And one of the things I find so refreshing about you as an artist and also as a musician is that the most important thing to you is to continually challenge yourself as an artist. What ways did you find to challenge yourself to take it to another level on Summer Madness?
Well, I think you definitely do have to try and push your boundaries each time you make a record. And it's okay to do it in a subtle way. I try to do more of an evolution rather than a revolution. I try not to take too many like 180 degree turns,
okay.
But I try to evolve and push forward. And ironically, I find that as I'm pushing forward, I'm kind of digging back to my roots by doing that, by sort of taking my early influences, which is definitely what I did with Summer Madness, was sort of digging back to my roots and kind of putting that together with what I've learned over the years and how I've evolved from working with other artists. And of course, one of the key points of Summer Madness, what we did with this record, is a little different than how records are made these days. We got my whole band in the studio. And then I had the honor of having Rick Braun produce the record, who's also an amazing trumpet player, as you know. And then we got in the studio. We didn't rehearse. We didn't have writing sessions ahead of time. We literally went into the studio, pressed the record button, and we just started making music. We wrote and arranged all the music together, and we just kind of let the music sort of pour out of us. And yeah, we tweaked it and adjusted as we went, but we got a direction. The direction, this is all about our funk and R&B influences and how it fuses with jazz. So we all got the direction in our head, and then we just went for it, and we did it all together as a band. And that you don't see a whole lot these days. And regardless of whether people like it, and of course I hope people do like it, we had just an amazing amount of fun making the record.
Absolutely. Well, I had an opportunity to listen to the entire album. And I said, you know, when I get Richard on the show, I said, I got to bring to his attention, man, listening to the album, the entire 10-track kaleidoscope of just pure, unadulterated, just soothing, combination of soothing and funk combined. It takes me back to the 1972 album of Tower of Power, Bump City, man. That's the vibe that I get.
Absolutely.
Yes, Lord, absolutely. So without further ado, let's get into the chorus from the incredible Richard Elliott, his new album, Summer Madness, with Breaking It Down here in the zone of LOTL Radio.
Thank you.
Incredible, Richard Elliott, here in the zone, on LOTO Radio, of course, new album, Summer Madness, Break It Down, Lord have mercy. Richard, I wanted to ask you, as far as being a musician, and I've always said this, is that the great thing about jazz in general is the last true format that an artist can spread his wings. And just as far as having the improvisational skills to do whatever they can imagine to do, especially in a live performance, how has that helped you to become a better artist? Because you have so much free range basically to do whatever you want in a live performance, especially if you and your band are in the same groove. You're in that same pocket, man. It's a beautiful experience.
Oh, absolutely. Obviously, it's a very liberating experience to be able to kind of draw on virtually any musical influence that you have within your sort of sphere of vision. So it's like, you know, if I want to bring in some Latin music, or I want to, you know, bring in some Latin funk or some anything, I mean, I can bring it in, and yeah, it sort of qualifies, you know, as long as you're sort of fusing genres together, and you're in the improvisational aspect is there. It's a very freeing thing, and I love the idea of kind of no borders. Basically, whatever you can think of, you can put together, and it, hopefully it works. But it's a very very freeing kind of an approach to making music. Absolutely.
When you have that kind of freedom, that liberation as you speak upon, and you have that kind of high on stage, man, how long does it take for you to get off that kind of high after a performance?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I've been asked before, if I had to give up one thing, either playing live or making records, what would it be? And I have to say, playing live for me is the basis. It's the inspiration for everything else that I do musically. So if I had to give up one of those things, I'd probably give up recording first, because playing live to me is what gives me the inspiration to go in the studio and make music. And as a matter of fact, you know, what we try to do with Summer Madness, by bringing the band in and sort of us all recording the music together as a unit, we try to sort of convey that joy of playing music live and try and convey it, you know, to the listeners while they're listening to the record. And it's the greatest thing. I honestly don't think I could ever give it up. I'll play live as long as someone wants to buy a ticket, and as long as I'm capable of getting up on a stage, I'm going to continue to play live.
Absolutely. And speaking of playing live, my goodness, next month Richard makes that transatlantic move, and he comes to the great state of Texas. I cannot wait. Mark your calendar down, Houstonians, on October the 9th. Richard will be here at the Worthington Center, here in Houston, Texas, and I will definitely give all the pertinent information, because, you know, the teddy bear will be right there. If I'm not in the front row, I'll be in the second row. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, thank
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Man, can we kind of speak to the listeners out there about, you know, what is it like when you have a band, a group of musicians, where you can kind of feed off of one another's idea and get different inputs, especially working on Summer Madness?
Yeah, there's really nothing like it. When you're with a group of guys that you respect, that you get along with both personally and musically, and that you've been with for a long time, and the guys that I've been fortunate enough to work with, we've worked together for many, many years. And what happens is, yeah, you do, as you put it, feed off of each other's musicality. And the other thing you start to do is sort of anticipate each other's moves before you do it. So you can kind of, you feel where someone is going with something, either a phrase or a note that they're going to play, and you kind of get there with them. It's almost like this sort of mind meld type thing. It's a very special thing, and I feel very lucky. And, you know, I mentioned about it being unique to go in the studio these days with a whole band and all, you know, play at the same time. And that's not to detract from what is the more common approach these days, which is you sit down, in the studio, maybe you put a drum line down, and maybe then, and once you got a groove, maybe you'll put a bass line down, and then you'll add a guitar. And that's cool, and that's totally fine. You can do great records that way, and I certainly have done many records that way, but I just wanted to grab that live thing a little more with Summer Madness, and again, bring in the musicians that I have that musical rapport with, that familiarity. It was very important for me to kind of use that kind of approach with this record.
Absolutely. You know, one of the vibes that I get from you just conversing with you about the music and about the new album is that when we're in the studio, it's definitely a beautiful experience when it comes to you organically, when it's nothing contrived and planned and plotted. As you said, we're going to lay a drum track here, we're going to do this, but when everyone is feeding off that same natural vibe, you have something special, something unique, and something magical. For you, if you just kind of stepped away for a second and you were just a novice going into a record store, I can't believe I just said it, the record store, we don't have them here. But if you let in, how would you describe a Richard Elliott album? How would you describe this album, Summer Madness?
The word I've been using lately has been joy. The joy of creating music, the joy of performing music, and the joy of to get unity between a group of musicians, and that unity between the people making the music and listening to the music. And I know it sounds a little corny in a way, but that really is what it's about. It's about joy and unity.
Well, it definitely resonates through the entire album. So without further ado, since we're in the groove, we want to definitely get something you can move to and get yourself lost in, the title track from the new album, Summer Madness, Richard Elliott, in the zone of LOTO Radio. Elliott, Summer Madness, from the title track of the new album here in the zone of LOTO Radio. And remember, fans, the new album CD is available as we speak on iTunes, Google Play. But for those who are like a little bit more adventurous, you can always head over to Amazon.com and get all the latest updates. Let your fingers do the walking. Stop by Richard's official website. That's at www.richardelliott.com. And also on Twitter at Richard Elliott Sykes. And last but not least, on Facebook, Richard Elliott Music. But remember, to all my many historians out here, he's going to grace us with his appearance on October the 9th. That's at the Worthington Center. That's 501 Texas Avenue. The ticket information is 832-487-7000. You know, the teddy bear will definitely be there. Lord have mercy. Richard, it was an honor, brother, to have you on the show. This is definitely your home. Whatever you need, please do not hesitate to let us know. I look forward to meeting you when you come out here to Houston, man, and hopefully soon you'll come down here in the studio, man. We'd love to converse with you and have that positive vibe and love back, and much continued success.
Thank you so much. It was great speaking with you. I appreciate it.
Oh, the pleasure was truly all mine. The incredible Mr. Richard Elliott here in the zone of LOTO Radio. Well, I got you here on Sam Sutley. Mike Linus's Blanket Band. Let's get lost in some more of Summer Madness from the incredible Richard Elliott with Back to You here in the zone of LOTO Radio.
Thank you. Thank you.